Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. God bless you. As I see people calling in and tuning in right now, my name is Apostle Johnny Floyd, and I am grateful to be able to come before you tonight through this particular network, Blog Talk Radio. Before I get into any details or anything of that nature, I really want to start off with a word of prayer. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We glorify you. Father, we lift you up. There is no God like you. No other God can stand before you. And God, no other God has the power that you do. Father, we pray tonight, God, that you completely speak to the people that have taken out time to listen tonight for just for an hour. Father, we pray, God, that whatever is spoken tonight that you have given me, hallelujah, through your presence, O Lord, God, that it enters into their ear gates, Father, and begin to deal with their spirit, O Lord. Father, we thank you, O God, for every listening ear, O God, that will be changed and that can take this transformation, O God, to other people. Father, we bless you tonight, God. And Father, we go tonight within your grace and your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, dear hearts, God bless you for joining me tonight. A few things I'm grateful for. You know, looking at the things that God has blessed me with. He spoke to me about a month ago, going back into using Blog Talk Radio. And I'm blessed because of the fact that, you know, 248 people have listened to this broadcast on the first night. And consistently a little less, around 220 people the second night. And so I'm just excited for Jesus, not for me. There is nothing that I could have done other than obey the word of the Lord. Tonight is unique in a sense because I really wanted to talk about how do I stop the bleeding. And God had led me to Leviticus chapter 15. I'm going to read verse 1 through 18 consistently. But God sent me in a different direction as I was praying and going through my daily activities, asking God about every move that I make. Some things happened today, and the Lord told me to pay close attention to it. And I wanted to obey the Lord, and I did. And God began to speak to me upon the subject that we're speaking about today, but he kind of redirected me. If anybody knows what it means to be redirected, you know, where you can have an anticipation of something, but God changes the whole route or changes the direction we were going in. Those folks that know me know I can't write down a message at all. It's very difficult for me to do that. God has given me has just not allowed me. He just hasn't allowed me to be able to do that. And so, I study a lot in the time that I have spare time, and just to hear whatever the Lord has to say. And I found that my study time has become therapeutic for me because I can. Now push back all the noise and listen to the Lord speak directly to me. So if you can, turn with me real quickly. We're going to read two passages of scripture from the book of Leviticus and then from the book of Mark, St. Mark. And give you a few minutes. I can't hear pages turning, but some of you have electronic devices and you can go real quickly for those who still have your Bibles. You know, you're turning those pages. You know, I want to give you the opportunity to turn there. So we are going in the book of Leviticus, but I want to chapter 15, you know, verse number 25. And if you have it, read along with your brother. And if a woman have an issue of blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, All the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation, and she shall be unclean. Every bed whereon she lies, all the days of her issue shall be unto her as a bed of her separation, and whatsoever she sitteth upon shall be unclean, as the uncleanness of her separation, and whosoever toucheth those things shall be unclean. And she shall wash his clothes, right? If I read that correctly now, and whosoever touches those things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. But if she be cleansed of her issue, then she shall number to herself 7 days after she shall be clean. And on the eighth day, she shall take unto her 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons and bring them unto the priest to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. All right, and if you all are going to stop there, if you could turn with me to Mark chapter 5, start commencing our reading at verse number 25, Leviticus 15 and 25, Mark chapter 5, verse number 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch his clothes, some have the writings of the hem of the garment, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched my clothes? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. So I want to address something here. And I may get a little pushback from some people, because if you go back to Leviticus chapter 15 and verse 1, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and said unto Aaron, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when any man have a running issue out of his flesh, because of his issue, he is unclean. Right. And so now notice now this is Leviticus, the book that the Levites had written. And so it is here that God gives Aaron or Moses and Aaron instructions on how to deal with a man and a woman that is unclean, that they have an issue flowing out of them. So let's not get it misunderstood now. This is the instructions that God gave these two men. And I want to say it real clearly now, based upon where they were, because they this was the Levitical writing, that priestly writing that he was given to his children, that Moses was in care of, how to deal with someone that is unclean. Now, for the last 2 days, we have discussed the fact that, you know, looking at the perspective from the woman being put away for an issue of blood where she was bleeding, But this was something that she had no control over. And we approached it from the perspective that this bleeding issue, or the issue that she had, caused her to be separated from people that she may love, family, friends. And if she was married, even her husband. And so she was untouchable during this time period. And because she was untouchable and she had to be alone, there was the possibility now that she could feel a sense of rejection. Now, some of you may have a problem with that now, and you may not believe that she felt rejected, and that may come mostly from men. But I beg to differ now, because you start teaching a young woman that probably have not even become a teenager, and her body has begun to change and to form. And now she finds out that she's bleeding. My Lord. And because she knows the law, it's been taught to her, and the women were preparing each other for this, that wasn't aware of it, that once she started to bleed, she had to be secluded. She could not sleep in her normal bed. She could not sit in the chair that she would sit in around her family. She could not wear clothes that she would normally wear. But if she did, they would be burned or destroyed because she was unclean. By nothing that she had done, or who she was with, or some words that she had spoken, or a deed that was evil that she had done, that would cause her to have to almost destroy the things that she had only because she had an issue that was not her fault. Oh, my Lord. So I have to paint this picture for you now, because, you know, this is the case here. And when you read Leviticus chapter 15 and you go into the woman that had an issue of blood, if this thing were continuous, she were to be put away. And no contact with anyone. And so she would have to find a way to live if she could not stop the bleeding. Whew, my Lord. Boy, I feel this thing tonight. And so if she couldn't stop the bleeding, she had to almost live as if she was a hermit or someone that could not be around anyone else. And because of that, she had to social distance herself. Because if a man touched her, she was unclean. If people came around her, they were unclean. And no doubt that because the bleeding would not stop, she probably became the talk of the town, but from a negative perspective. I don't touch her. I don't go around her because she nasty. She unclean. And so you know, it is our law that we push her to the side. But I want you to imagine something here now, because these women that experienced this all did that in some point in life on a monthly basis, unless she was pregnant, she was secluded. It probably was one reason why so many children were born and families were big, because the woman probably felt good that she did not have to be separated from her children. She wanted to be around them. She needed to be around them. So if she was bearing children, she could not bleed in some cases. But, you know, without children, barren, she had a bleeding issue. Now imagine now, because this law was created, can you now look at the women, that biblical context, when you think of great women in the Bible, You have to think no other than Sarah herself. Even though that this law came about after Sarah and Abraham, but imagine now if you're Hannah, you know, Sarah had a child late in her age, so even at her being old, if she lived during the time period after this Levitical law had been instituted, she would spend at least 3 months out of the year by herself. Ooh, my Lord, you know, I just, y'all got to grab this now. And so Hannah, that couldn't have a child, she noticed now that she even, it didn't speak to what her situation was, but not being able to bear children, asking God for a child, but yet having to deal with being secluded at least 3 months, 12 weeks. Y'all with me here? 84 days, something to that effect, you know, that she could not be around family or friends. You know, now some of you all may like that because you get to go away and you can be just with the Lord, but then you miss the human part of the contact. You know, we have cell phones and we have telephones and we have Zoom, and so even if we were secluded, we wore Zoom out during the pandemic, cell phones and called people and because we couldn't come in contact with folks. But here are a group or a number of women that are part of the children of Israel that now has to deal with a law that is projected at them and that puts them to the side. Y'all listen to me now. This is a difficult moment for them, and not just for the elderly women trying to prepare the younger women, but you can see why so many of them probably felt less than, because here they are part of the children of Israel, but does God only love men? I said it. I know I'm going to make some people mad. You know, so, you know, why would he make us secluded and not seclude the men? But does he only love the man? You know, have you all ever felt that your situation or circumstances, by no error of your own, it seems as though that this thing that has come about in your life has positioned you or put you or placed you in a time and an era in which you feel secluded and neglected and rejected, and you're trying to figure out, what did I do? My Lord, just a moment to listen to that thing is enough by itself, you know, trying to answer that question. Lord, what is it that I did? You know, God, what did I do in order for you to have to do this to me? Brings me to a discussion I had with someone about Job. You know, when Job, at one perspective in life, thought that he knew God. And it wasn't until he had listened to his homeboys tell him about the things that he had lost and why he had lost those things that he had done something and God was angry with him. And so Job, thinking that he's so good and have not made one mistake, not knowing the purpose of the things, he now questions God in a manner that he challenges the very deity of who God is. And behind that, now Job had pushed a button with God that God now had to come back and say, who are you? And where were you when I slung the stars in the sky? What did you have to do with me creating the beast of the sea? Who are you, Job? Very difficult thing to monitor and to ask. Y'all bear with me here now because I'm almost finished. It's not going to take me long to get there. And so now look at this woman and how doing the law of this Levitical gathering, that this law now had made it difficult for her to be around people, and that if folk were around her, then they could become contaminated, and it was not needful that she be in any vicinity of them because then she could have a whole city locked down because she would not socially distance herself. Whew, my Lord. Boy, there's some rich stuff here. In order to go forward now, in order to do something with people, in order to be able to touch somebody, in order to be in the presence to speak with someone, I gotta stop the bleeding. A few days ago, I said that even though this is the story of a woman, there are men and women that are bleeding, and this so-called bleeding that is happening is happening amongst everybody, because you're walking around people and you have an issue that you have not addressed, and you're bleeding, and you're hugging people and you're bleeding, you're embracing people and you're bleeding, and you have not healed from that wound, my Lord. You're bleeding now, and which is interesting because, you know, regardless of how long you've been bleeding, and people know you're bleeding and they don't want you around them because you're unclean, they haven't seen their bleeding issue. They haven't talked about their bleeding issue. They've hidden their bleeding issue. And so their bleeding has yet to stop. But yours is so violent. Yours is so visual. Yours has left a trail, and people see you bleeding, and they're wondering why you just won't die. My Lord. They're not praying for you to be healed. Some of them are speaking of demise over you because you've been secluded for so long, and now you come out and you haven't healed. And because you come out and you haven't healed, you have not made any sacrifices. You have not gotten a turtle dove. You have not presented anything to the priest, and yet you show up out here in your nasty, filthy self. You know, this is how people look now at you and wanting you to feel ugly, unwanted, unrepresented, pushed back. They don't want you to be embraced, and they walk by you. They won't even brush against you. They make space so when you come around that they don't touch you. They stop talking when you come into their presence. And it looks like every time that you come near one of them, they are going the opposite way. My Lord, can you recognize this now? How that they think that you are so foul and you're so unclean that they don't want to be around you because they're not that unclean, even though they are unclean. They are not that foul, even though they are foul. And they forget that this is not an issue that you can control. My Lord. Boy, I tell you, this is some good stuff. So how now do you stop the bleeding? Look at here now in Mark chapter 5. Even though the Levitical law has stated that if a woman has an issue of blood longer than 7 days, then she should be put away. But here is a woman now that Mark now, he writes about this woman. He calls her a certain woman. And this certain woman means that it was a woman in specific, because her issue had been going on for 12 long years. Ah, Lord Jesus. Now, this certain woman that had been bleeding for 12 long years no doubt has been by herself for this length of time. And she had not been in the city around anyone. No doubt she had to do things in the middle of the night when everybody else was asleep. She now could probably come outside. She could now probably go to the garden and grab some food. She could possibly now deal with a cow or milk the cow or get some type of milk or nourishment from the cow. She could go to the river, to the water somewhere, and now get something to drink. But she's been bleeding for 12 long years. And it didn't matter, what family she was a part of. There was no doctor that had given her anything that would help her. She had spent every dime she had just trying to get better. Y'all don't know nobody like that, walking around here feeling separated for many years, feeling unwanted for many of years, and quiet, not willing to tell her story because she's bleeding. Let everybody else see it, and they don't want to be around her. Man, I wonder if you know anybody like that. Have you seen anybody like that? Have you had contact with someone like that, has been having an issue for a number of years, and because she follows the law, or they follow the law, or being more religious, that they feel the sting of the uncleanness, and they are trying to wash themselves, but they can't come clean. They are trying to clean the issue up, but it just keeps bleeding. And no doubt that for these 12 years they've been screaming, how do I stop the bleeding? My Lord, how can I stop this bleeding? 12 years away from everybody. How do I stop the bleeding? That's an interesting question, because some folks are bleeding around you now, and they have been bleeding for years. They've used certain things to try to suppress the blood. They've packed it with certain things, but those things is still bleeding. The wound is open. Not necessarily an issue of blood like a woman in her time and her cycle, but an issue of blood where it just keeps coming out. And it just won't stop. And everybody that knows that you're bleeding now have built a wall around you emotionally. Everybody that knows you're bleeding now has built a wall around you physically. They don't want to touch you. They don't want to speak to you, because if they say something, they're fearful that whatever it is may come upon them. They don't want you to touch them because they don't want to be contaminated. They don't want to embrace you because they feel like that if they do, then they are guilty of a sin, and so they separate themselves from you. But I'm curious now that this interesting piece in Mark chapter number 5 sets it up to the point of where a woman now has an issue that she's been bleeding for 12 years. And she cannot touch someone. She cannot be around anyone. And if she does, then all of these people are contaminated. And all of these people are unclean. But yet, this woman presses through the crowd. It ain't the fact that she pressed through the crowd that's interesting to me, is that everybody she touched on her way to get to Jesus now had become unclean. My Lord. I'm not impressed by how she fought her way through the crowd. I'm looking at the fact that as she did this, that none of these people now made a way that would be clear for her just to get to Jesus. You would have thought them, knowing that she had been bleeding for all of these years, when they saw her coming, they would have made a pathway clear so she couldn't touch them and that she could be have direct contact with Jesus. See, why would, if they knew the law, why would they stand in the way of this woman here getting healed? I'm curious now. You know, I looked at this all different kind of ways. Maybe they had an issue too. Oh, Lord. Maybe the group of them had an issue, and she just been the one bleeding as long than the rest of them, you know, because none of those people, neither does the writer state, that they were fearful of being touched by the woman. Because it wasn't an omen or a famine that was the old wives' tale that was told. It was God that told Moses and Aaron what to do when someone was bleeding. And they had an issue from the flesh. My Lord, what makes this great to me is that some may say that the Bible is contradiction of itself, because here in great biblical text, this woman should have been put away. This wasn't a law that Moses made up. This was what was recorded, and Moses said God told him and instructed Aaron. So why would God now change his mind about a woman that had an issue of blood? Here Jesus is now, he takes, and because he knows what the Levitical laws were, he knows what Moses wrote. He knows the history behind a woman that had an issue of blood. And why did Jesus not follow the law? Oh, Lord, y'all want to answer that question. You know, why did Jesus not stop this woman and say that you're unclean? Why did he not stop her and say you're contaminating all of the rest of the people that are here? Why did he not stop and say, go burn your clothes because you've been touched by someone that is unclean and her, she still has issues in her? Why? Why did Jesus not just take root of the fact that God had already told Moses and Aaron that before she came, if her issue had stopped, she had to bring a sacrifice because she had to take it to the priest? Did she not recognize who Jesus? Did she think Jesus was a priest? Did she believe he was the king of the Jews? All of these questions now come into my thought process, because I'm curious, because she wanted the bleeding to stop. My Lord. Think about this, ladies and gentlemen, my brothers and sisters. If we decide to treat everybody like they're unclean and that issue will contaminate me, how do they get healed? Because she not only needs to be healed, or she not only needs to be healed, but those people that, let's say they didn't have an issue, they were crowding around Jesus as if they did. Have you ever seen people that flock around certain folks as if they know that person, and they block everybody else from getting to that person? Have you ever seen anybody like that? You know, maybe just me. Maybe just me. But think about this now. It's a herd of folks, a crowd around Jesus. A known woman that bleeding had not stopped. This issue has been soaring for 12 long years. I can't even calculate right now the number of days, but it's over, roughly over, I would say, almost 4,000 days. Almost 4,000 days. A little bit over, somewhere around that number, that she had this issue. But she felt like, if I could just get to it, my bleeding will stop. Woo, my Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, she felt like if, even if this issue was something that she had no control over, the only person that could help her was Jesus. So if it meant contaminating some people just to get to him, she pressed. If it meant these folks having to burn their clothes so she can get to him, she pressed. If it meant these people had to be secluded now and go into hibernation or be put away, she pressed. If it meant that they now would have a bleeding issue, she didn't care because she wanted to be healed. She pressed. And not one time does the writer recognize the fact that this woman having this bleeding issue caused undue stress on those that was around Jesus. Not one time did the writer speak to that. But as she pressed her way to touch him, she didn't get to him. She got to his garment. And now, because the Levitical law said that if she touched his clothing, it was now contaminated and had to be burned. But there was something greater that was going on because the clothing was on Jesus, but she just needed to touch it, and now Jesus needed to show how revolutionary he is, because he went beyond what the Levitical law had introduced, because no longer would you have to put someone away because of a bleeding issue if that person would just come to Jesus. Whoo, man, the bleeding will stop. Now think about this now. We're pointing everybody to churches. We point people to radio broadcasts, television broadcasts. We point people to pastors. And we point people to books. And we have yet to point them to Jesus. There is something powerful about pressing through the dogmatic history of what someone has said or done that you had no control over. And for years, this thing has haunted you, and you pretty much stayed silent, stayed away, and it has been difficult in relationships because you couldn't relate to folks enough to trust them to tell what your issue was. But now here's the moment tonight. Nobody can stop you. With your issue that you may have, nobody can go back historically and tell you that you got to go destroy everything. Nobody. Because I'm pointing you to Jesus, not pointing you towards me or to anyone else. The only person, only thing, only individual that I would want as that is a spirit that I would want to point you to is Jesus himself. He stops the bleeding. He stops the flow. He gives you what you need just by a touch. A touch from Jesus, not him touching you, but you touching him. I don't care what people have told you historically. I'm not interested in past situations. I'm not interested in that. I had someone on a phone call today with somebody, and the first thing they did, they got on the phone and talked about, they was getting ready to ask me to do something, ask me if I had something. But instead of asking me that, they got on the phone and started to blast about what someone else said they could do and they couldn't do it. And they just we're going on and on. I said, whoa, wait a minute. I don't know who you talked to last. Don't, I'm not sure about the conversation you had. That conversation didn't have anything to do with me. So even though you may be upset about your last dealing, that's not me. And so if you want to do this, hear the ABCs. If not, thank you. Have a nice day. And then somebody said, hold on, Johnny. This is the owner of the company. I said, okay, I know, but don't get on the phone telling me what happened to you in the past. If you want help, here it is. Not one time did the woman tell Jesus or try to explain to him and told me I shouldn't be out here. Not one time did she say, I'm going to have to burn all my clothes. And Jesus, you're going to have to burn this to me because I touched it. Not one time. The only thing that was on her mind was getting to him. And dear hearts, the only thing I want you to do is kill the chatter from your history. I don't care if it's something that you feel like you've brung on yourself, or if you're dealing with a generational curse that people like to talk about, you know, or it's just something that happened in your life, and again, you had no control over it. It caused you to feel rejected, secluded, and thrown away. This is not going to be your testimony. What your testimony is will change as soon as you make the decision to press your way towards Jesus. I'm not here to get you to give me some money and tell you to buy some miracle spring water or buy some oil or, you know, get a cloth from me. I'm not interested in all that stuff. I don't want you to put your hands on no television or the phone or anything of that nature. But you putting your hands on that insurance is not going to contact you. That's a thing. What you need to do is find your spirit within your heart. You got to pull everything down that you have built the wall up because you were treated a certain way. Whether you were rejected, whether you were raped, whether you were beaten, I need you to pull all that down. I know it hurts. I know it hurts. Whether you keep losing your job, whether you stay sick all the time, whether you can't, you know, pay your bills when you want, I need you to let all of that go. Because the first thing you got to do is you have to change the way you think. And some of us preachers have been partly responsible for giving you certain ways to think, that you're not good enough because you didn't do it our way. You can't make it in because you didn't do it our way. We have no control over that. So I'm being straightforward and as real as I possibly can be, because this is a new day for you. This is a new hour for you. Doesn't matter, you know, who had the advantage over you, who had the authority over you, who had the power over you, you know, put all that stuff down and now press your way. What does that mean? What does it mean for you to press your way right now? That means whatever they told you you couldn't do, get up and do. And do it going straight to Jesus. Now, you don't have to go to a church to find it. Right now, if you're listening, you can encounter him where you are. And all the things that pushed you away, that caused you to feel rejected, those are just spirits. they are trying to find a way to keep that, keep a nice home and bed in your life. So you can do some ejecting yourself. You can tell them, spirits, that they no longer have a place in your life. They no longer can tell you how to feel, what to feel. They can't shape form who you are. It is that time. On June the 22nd at 7:45 p.m. that you make that decision to run to Jesus. Push down everybody that has pushed you away, because you're not there to harm them. You're just trying to get Jesus. So that means, hey, folks, I appreciate you, but I really got to get to Jesus. And that means that, in a sense, I can't talk to you no more. Not right now, you know, because all you've done in this relationship is kind of helped me stay quiet. You've helped me stay secluded. I can't stay secluded no more. You know, that may mean that you're not trying to hurt anybody. You're just telling them, I appreciate what you tried to do by keeping me silent. But I just need Jesus. And you have to wait for Jesus to come to town. The only crowd you're pressing through are your thoughts. The only crowd you got to fight through are those people that only left words that you couldn't do it. That's the crowd you got to fight through. You got to fight through nobody. Because half those people that see Jesus, they're not trying to get to him. They're trying to get what they can get from him. But I guarantee you tonight, dear hearts, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, Jesus can stop the bleeding. He will stop the bleeding. Because it's not your flesh physically that's bleeding. It's your spirit that's wounded. And this is the time that you got to press your way to get to him. You know, don't mean you got to run around the house three times. Don't mean you got to spin around three circles three times. Don't mean you got to get a neighbor high five, you know, or touch your neighbor. You don't have to do all that. You know, all you got to do is sit where you are. We're going to pray in a few minutes. And I'm just going to ask the Lord to deliver you from your own thinking. Because everybody that's talking, they just talking. And God is not going to silence them. He's going to be in a position to where you can get to him, regardless of who they are, what they think, or what they say. Stop the bleeding. From a medical standpoint, when I was in the military, they told us to put pressure on the wound and tie a tourniquet above it to try to keep the blood from flowing to it. But you would have to release it every now and then. If not, that person would lose a limb. And so you put another bandage on it, put pressure on it just to stop the bleeding and hope that the wound or the blood clots enough to where it can become thick enough. I guess that's what it means it'll stop the bleeding on its own. So you need wound treatment in that, and you have to clean it on a daily basis or it'll get infected. And if that infection gets into the blood system, it can kill you. This is no different, and I might be medically off on some of the things I'm talking about. I'm just talking about, just speaking reference to what I've been told. This is symbolic in representation of the physical wounds and spiritual wounds. Satan wants you to remain wounded and not healed. And we can point fingers at everybody and blame people when it's really not their fault. But tonight, we're going to take it a step further. We're going to pray in a few minutes, and I'm going to ask the Lord to do something. And if your ears are here, regardless if you listen to it today or a few days from now or a few weeks from now or months from now, even next year, this is archived for you to listen to it and that you can grasp whatever it is that you need out of this. Just press through it. Stop the bleeding. Pray with your brother. Gracious God, Father, it's your presence, O Lord. Lord, your presence, Father, can't do anything without it. And God, we're pressing our way now, God, straight to you. Straight to you, Jesus. But our hands stretched out, if we could just touch you. Father, where we are, your presence, O Lord. God, bring your presence to the listening ear of your people. Bring your presence where they are, in their room or in their cars. Bring your presence, O God, whether they're sitting on the couch or at the kitchen table or in their car driving. Father, it's your presence we need right now, God, that we can touch you, Father. God, get close enough to us, hallelujah, that your spirit, O God, can be there for us to reach and touch you, Father. Thank you, O Lord. Right now, Jesus, your presence, O Lord, will stop the bleeding, Father. Your presence, O God, give us, O God, that we press through everything, Father, to get to you, not knowing who we'll contaminate, Father, not knowing what would have to be destroyed, don't care what it is. Lord, your presence, Father, your presence is what's needed right now. Hallelujah, O God, because when you show up, and Father, we know that if we can just touch you, we reach out and touch you. Make yourself available, Lord Jesus, that we can touch you right now, Father. Make yourself visible, Lord, spiritually, oh God, that we can touch you, Father. Reaching out with our hands, oh God, and grabbing hold to your garment, Father. Just a touch, Father, and that the bleeding will stop. And that we will continue to come to you constantly, oh God, weaving through all the chatter, what people say, what rules they've made, when they told us what we can't do. God, we press right now to touch you, Father, in your presence, oh Lord. Hallelujah. God, the touch that we have from you, when we touch you, oh God, we heal. When we touch you, Father, we are healed. The plague now doesn't have any control over us. I thank you, Lord Jesus. God, I bless you, O Lord. I see bleeding issues stopping right now. Those, O God, that have been bleeding for years, the blood has stopped, Father. They're healing, O God. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we lift you up. Hallelujah and amen. Well, dear hearts, I am blessed again. Very interesting day. I love the Lord. God is doing great things, and especially for those that have vision. God is going to bless you. If you can hear the Lord speak to you about the vision that he's shown you, and if you allow him to walk you through it, he's going to do more than what you can imagine. Don't be fearful and not walk through the crowd, whether this is a bleeding issue or a business opportunity. I don't know where God brought that from. He wanted me to say that. Don't let what you've heard in the past be your testimony. Press your way. Trust Jesus. And watch him heal your thoughts, change your actions. create new habits, and that becomes a part of your character. You can do it, loved ones. You can do it, my brothers and sisters. You can do it, dear heart. Press your way. Well, my time has come to an end, and before I go, I want to give a shout-out to Apostle Steve Bird and his wife, my brother and my sister. I love you all. I want to give a shout-out to my brother in Florida, Pastor Gene Heflin. My prayers are still with you and your family. I know you buried your mother last Saturday. God is still good. You know, he's still on the throne. Blessings to everyone that took the opportunity to listen and partake with me tonight. I love you all. And please tune in again next Tuesday at 7 o'clock. You know, I was thinking about some things, and I'm going to be in Florida. I'm leaving Georgia Saturday morning, going to Florida. And I plan to visit some people. But Monday I have an appointment because I'm getting my right hip done now. And God has blessed me to have my left hip done. I feel so much better. Now I'm going to get the right hip done, and I'm walking upstairs and walking downstairs, and I'm walking a little bit more without the cane. So God is good, and I'm blessing him on a daily basis. So we love you all. God bless you, and until next Tuesday, you know, keep God first. Amen.